Social Security employees are used to dealing with people at the most vulnerable times of their lives. But we could not have anticipated what we were going to be dealing with, the suffering and the emotional loss around September 11th. And certainly, I think you know, we're dealing with a decade and the 10th anniversary coming up. So I think it's really very appropriate at this point in time for us to spend a little time about September 11th. We spent some time with our Inspector General and staff, and there was no question that I needed to get back to New York. Also, that I needed to get in touch with my people in New York. And remember, 10 years ago, we were very dependent on landlines for communications. So one of the things that went down was the Verizon subcenter that controlled a lot of the telecommunications. I was able in the commissioner's office to get to an assistant regional commissioner who said they were evacuating the federal building where I am in New York City, which is just a brief walk away from the World Trade Center.
At some point in your mind, as you had to get back to that federal building, you must have been thinking, well, how are we going to do our jobs now?
Absolutely. And there was no question that Social Security would be up and running and that we had to show that government was there, and that government had to be able to deal with any of the emergencies. Part of the experience that I've had is, as regional commissioner, I have Puerto Rico, which has hurricanes. So we have always had, and Social Security has had a long history, of how do you respond to emergencies. And it certainly is, we have emergency procedures. We also do have a communications plan, and communications is absolutely key, so that you know the telephone numbers of all your employees, you know where they can go when you have a difficult type of situation. You deal with other federal agencies, state and city, and I was also chair of the Federal Executive Board at that time, which was coordinating all the federal agencies. So I went in overdrive. I knew I was going to get back to New York, but before I would get back to New York, I had to have some telephone communications with people, and that was most arduous because on September 11th itself, they shut down New York City, shut down all the telecommunications. So I really did not – I had to stay in Baltimore because I could not get back to New York that day. I actually took Amtrak, the first train out, the next day, Wednesday morning. But that night before, I had hooked up with my inspector general, who's law enforcement in Social Security, who has access to all federal law enforcement as well as a local New York City police. And I knew it was very, very important to make the contact with all the individuals here, that I had to have law enforcement as part of my team, as well as having the General Services Administration and doing some very significant assessments. So from Baltimore, I was able to get through, stayed on the phone, took hours to get through to some key people in the New York region to say, this is what we need to do. There's an office away from Lower Manhattan, which is my Grand Central office. We need to, as soon as we open, we need to all be there to plan the contingency. So, for example, we were closed in New York City on the 11th. We were closed on the 12th. I was already back in New York City on the morning of the 12th with my inspector general. We actually opened all of our offices 2 days later, except for the offices in Lower Manhattan and the people that are in the federal building. All my employees were relocated to other Social Security offices. And we created a command center in our Grand Central office. And if you don't know New York City, that's near the hub of transportation. So I could bring in my key executives, those that report to me, as well as individuals that are not under my line. But this was a coordinated effort of all parts of Social Security, and then also be in touch with other federal agencies, the state and the city. So we were back basically functioning 2 days later. We were going to basically show that government was there. We were there with compassion, and we actually then spent time looking and working with city, state, and other federal agencies to see how were they're going to handle the families of all the people that were trapped and went down in the World Trade Center.
Now, throughout this whole process, how much involvement did headquarters in Baltimore for Social Security really have, or was it pretty much your entrepreneurial way being on the New York scene?
I was very, very fortunate. The acting commissioner of Social Security at that point in time was a colleague of mine. He was the regional commissioner of Philadelphia. So when I left that headquarters to get back to New York, there was a constant flow of communications. In essence, what they said, and I think this shows you government at its best, they said, do what you have to do and call us for what you need. I needed very quickly a very simplified process for handling Social Security benefits. And through the phone with headquarters, we actually developed the process so that by the time I went on site, which was that Saturday, the employers brought together all of the families of people that had worked in the World Trade Center to talk about what the future was, what kind of benefits they would provide, and had a whole team with me of Social Security employees. These employees, a number of them that came in, had relatives that were in the World Trade Center site. So you have to have communications with headquarters, and this was an unbelievable cooperative coalition between a headquarter and a region to have things get done.
We are talking with Bea Dismond, the New York Regional Commissioner of the Social Security Administration. But that communication also went between you and your staff. You have many times in this interview talked about your staff was there. They were on hand. Some of them had to be moved to different offices, but they were available. Did you just expect that they would be there? Would you have been surprised if they had not been able to step up?
I would be very surprised. Social Security employees are really tied to the public mission. They know that we deal with individuals at the most vulnerable time of our lives. They are very committed to Social Security's mission. I am extremely proud, not just the Social Security employees here. You spoke about cooperations with headquarters. Let me mention, I had cooperations from the entire country because we couldn't do it alone. If I was shut down for 2 days here in New York City, business had to go on as usual in other parts of my region, which is upstate New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. So I needed other regional offices, other places to be able to handle technical questions from staff, to be able to communicate. So we actually have a partnering system where if one particular place goes down, someone else in another region can help. I think this is an example of what I call a Social Security family. We're used to doing it. I mean, certainly the hurricanes that hit Florida, the problems later on with Katrina and stuff, we all did the same thing.
There are, as you mentioned, feds in other regions of the country who are going through similar types of adversity, and the show must go on. The job still has to continue. What is your bottom line piece of advice for them?
My bottom line piece of advice is you have to do this before you have the catastrophic event. For example, coalitions, knowing your outreach, building relationships with all other kinds of government agencies, know who you're going to reach out to.